Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has experienced teams who can craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex. Real wealth requires real solutions. Connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com.
The FT.
Hello, and welcome back to the FT Arts Podcast. I'm Neville Hawcock, the FT's Deputy Arts Editor, and this week I'm joined by Nigel Andrews, the paper's film critic.
Hello.
And by Peter Buckingham, Head of Distribution and Exhibition at the British Film Institute.
Hello.
We're here to discuss 3D movies. This year the format looks set to be bigger than ever, with numerous costly releases, including the latest Pirates of the Caribbean yarn, and offerings from both Spielberg and Scorsese. Arthouse directors have been joining in too. Werner Herzog's documentary on cave art has just opened in the UK. But will the public buy it? Disney's 3D Mars Needs Moms, which opened last month in the US and opens soon in the UK, is on course to be a mega flop. Maybe the novelty has worn off. To get an inside perspective, I spoke earlier to Rupert Preston, producer of last year's hit movie Street Dance 3D and of Horrid Henry, the movie, scheduled for release this summer. I started by asking whether 3D was adding significantly to filmmakers' costs. Thanks very much for taking the time to speak to us about this. How much more expensive is it to make a 3D film than a flat film?
I mean, it kind of depends on what your overall budget is, but I mean, our films were made, both Horrid Henry and Street Dance, and we've got the Street Dance sequel, which starts shooting in June, which will also be in 3D, and those films are sort of budgeted at under $10 million, and the 3D adds between 10 to 20% of the budget.
Do you see 3D becoming the default mode when you go to a cinema? You'll expect to see things in 3D, or do you hope that will be the case?
I don't think so. I think it's, I mean, literally, if you look at the amount of films that are, from a UK point of view, how many British films are being made, and if there's 50 or 60 being made a year, and literally one or two in 3D, it's not huge. To be honest, I think there's certain types of films that it fits perfectly, but there's lots of types of films that they can be in 2D.
Yes, but you think it'll sustain itself?
I'd be very surprised if it didn't, just because of the amount of investment that's been put into it in the cinemas. And the fact is, you know, cinema admissions, certainly in America, have been going down. And it's the fact that the 3D price, ticket prices have gone up. You know, they kind of kept the box office at a level or increased it, even though admissions are going down. I'd be amazed if it disappeared. The Hollywood studios are fairly committed to 3D films.
Peter, it may not be too much of a hurdle for movie makers, but is it costly for picture houses to show these sort of movies?
It is quite expensive, actually. It's first of all, you need a digital projector, which is expensive in its own right. And then in addition to that, you've got to have various different technical solutions, but they all add on to the top of a cost of a normal two-dimensional digital projector kit. However, having said that, The train that is really pulling the whole digital projection movement is actually 3D. And the reason for that is because consumers are reacting very strongly, positively towards 3D, both in terms of numbers turning up to watch it and also in terms of actually, as was just said, about paying a slightly premium ticket price for watching 3D. And actually, without 3D, the conversion from 35mm analog projectors to digital projectors is very unlikely to have happened. It's the 3D consumer demand that has really pulled the very expensive conversion from 35mm to digital into reality.
Is this going to adversely affect the art houses, though? Because they will find it hard to compete against the multiplexes that can readily afford that sort of equipment.
I don't think so. I don't think it's a question of art house versus multiplex. I think there is an issue about ability to pay or not, and I think that's not necessarily, you know, that issue is not necessarily confined just to art house. I think there is a looming issue around this anyway. This is more a wider discussion about the digitalisation of cinemas and so on, but the financing methods and the economics of conversion means that certain types of cinemas that are either second or third run or repertory or part-time and so on are going to struggle to be part of the financing mechanism that the industry has chosen to be able to contribute to this to work. And there is an ongoing threat that a number of those cinemas will actually close or will have severe problems of supply in the next few years as 35mm cuts off. That's slightly away from the 3D discussion, but I wouldn't characterise it as art house versus multiplex in this case. I think it's a part-time or programming or financial issue rather than versus multiplex rather than art house.
You don't see 3D sort of driving the demise of the art house then? It's,
no.
It's a symptom or just part of it, possibly?
No, no.
And are you confident that it's here to stay, 3D?
Well, I am. I'm very confident, actually. I'm probably guilty myself in the past of being slightly too sort of exaggerated in terms of what it is. So things like saying, you know, it's colour and versus black and white and sound versus silent and 3D versus 2D is probably pushing it a bit much. But I wouldn't go too far below that. I think that, you know, we see in 3D and it's a greater experience, and I think there's quite a lot of evidence to say that that people actually find the experience a more immersive one and therefore a better part of the storytelling.
So, Nigel, Peter's confident that it's here to stay, and George Lucas at a conference yesterday said, "It's a better way of looking at a film. I totally believe now that 3D will completely take over, just like colour did." Should we welcome that?
Well, if it were true, I guess one would welcome it. But I'm not convinced. I've been a doubter since this latest cycle of 3D began, having lived through, as shocking as it is to confess, two earlier waves, one in the 50s, one in the 70s, which, of course, climaxed in the famous or infamous Jaws 3D. There's no doubt that the technology is better now, that it's a smoother, easier experience to watch 3D. You don't have that awful kind of muscle spasm every time the shot changes, which you used to do in earlier 3D cycles. The glasses are easier to wear, etc., etc. However, I dispute this comparison with sound and colour. Yes, there were a lot of people saying sound would never catch on in cinema and that it was a desecration of cinema, and the same thing happened with colour. People said, we don't want that, we love movies in black and white. The difference here, I think, is that sound and colour are infinitely varied and plastic and unpredictable, and therefore artists can do a lot of inexpressive things with them. Depth of field isn't. Depth of field is, we know what it is, it's limited, we know how it's going to perform, and I think filmgoers build that into a film when they're watching it in two dimensions. Therefore, I'm frankly doubtful that 3D will hang on just because viewers can, in a sense, supply it themselves. And indeed, there's a sense of jadedness, I think, after half an hour watching a 3D film when you just take it for granted, and so the glasses become kind of superfluous.
The development in the film that's just opened and has been attracting a lot of attention in the UK recently is the Herzog film, The Cave of Forgotten Dreams. And I'm not trying to catch you out here, Nigel, but you were very favourable about that in your film column last week. Is that a sort of counterexample to your thesis?
Well, I don't like the idea of thinking 3D is either there or it's extinct like the dinosaur. I mean, I'd like it to hang around being used by creative directors when they want to do something different with it. And it's intriguing that two of the fathers of the new German cinema back in the 70s were there in Berlin this year screening their new 3D films on the same day, Wim Wenders with Pina, his dance film, and Herzog with Cave of Forgotten Dreams. And they were doing new things with it. Well, that's fine. I think if artists and independent filmmakers get hold of it, they can innovate with 3D. I think what we're seeing is too much of the kind of general run of digimation movies, if I can call them that, which are the same, you know, from Yogi Bear to Romeo and Juliet to you name it. And I think that's probably the kind of film that audiences are getting tired of.
That's possibly the problem with Mars Needs Moms. Peter, I gather you had some interesting information about the Herzog movie.
Well, yeah, we do. Basically, we, as the Film Council, supported its release, helped its release in it. And part of that, we always make sure we have exit polls. So we always ask the audiences at the first weekend what they thought about the film, because it's their money, and if they don't like it, then we've chosen the wrong film, really. That's one of the reasons why we do it. But here we asked quite a few questions about the 3D and 2D. And what's interesting, I think, about what Nigel's also saying about this is about the artists and so on, is that that sometimes the debate about 3D is pinned too much upon the beginnings of where 3D started, which is animation and, you know, special effects and that kind of stuff. And less attention, perhaps, has been taken to the fact of where it can be in a new, you know, creating new creative forms and so on and so forth, like on Cave of Forgotten Dreams or Pina. So what's interesting here is that the results also show that the same kind of sort of innate sort of mistrust and prejudice about 3D is actually there. So for example, only 21% of the people that were going to see the film actually really thought 3D was any good. They were quite mistrustful of it. I mean, you know, 79% of them are therefore saying, I'm not sure if I really like 3D. Isn't it just a sort of fad or a special effects thing, etc.? Conversely, though, the difference, because it's also out in 2D, that, by the way, everybody loved the film, but the 2D people were liked it, 34% thought it was excellent, but the 3D people was 44%. So there's a greater sense of enjoyment, and I think that's coming, and actually there's more like that as well, that the, in terms of that sense, 77% thought that 3D enhanced their experience of the film. So I think that what you get is, and I think your point, Nigel, about forgetting you have the glasses on is actually a very good one, because where 3D is working at its best, and I do go back to the word immersive, you're inside that experience and you're experiencing the storytelling better, and it's impacting a little stronger, more surrounding you. And consistently, fairly consistently, people are coming out, not perhaps even remembering sometimes, they actually perhaps even saw a 3D film. Up was like that for me, for example.
It's interesting that you say that about Up, because in preparing for this podcast, I was trying to think back about the 3D films I've seen with my kids, and actually it's a bit hard to disentangle which ones are in 3D and which ones weren't.
Actually, Up was, of course, one of the great successes of the early 3D cycle. In fact, I think it was the first 3D film ever to open the Cannes Film Festival. So at that point, and Avatar was on the way, and so on. However, the fact has to be faced that there are huge signs of alarm going on in Hollywood at the moment. I mean, the Mars Needs Mom seems to have started a kind of pandemic of panic among some areas of the Hollywood executive class. I mean, they have shut down the Robert Zemeckis department of their studio. Robert Zemeckis, of course, made Forrest Gump and Back to the Future, and yes, has now flopped big time with this movie. And Disney has shut down his entire digital animation department. We also hear there's a report that a remake of the Beatles' Yellow Submarine film in 3D has been scrapped. And so people are thinking twice about this at the moment. And also there are signs that audiences are getting unwilling to pay higher prices for what they think is not necessarily that higher an experience.
Well, as you say, it's whether the director uses it creatively or not. And often it seems they won't use it in that way. But Peter, to go back to you, you seemed pretty confident earlier that it would become what people would expect to see at the cinema.
Yeah, I don't think it'll be consistent. I don't think, you know, 2D is going to disappear at all, because it's an extremely valid art form and an extremely valid way of telling stories and audiences seems to interact with it. But I don't think 3D is going to go away either. And in a way, you could almost see that as 3D veers towards the norm, then you probably are not going to see a price premium anymore, precisely because it becomes slightly more normal. And actually, films have always flopped. So the fact that, you know, once you get a lot of 3D, the first one's going to flop, well, it doesn't mean 3D. It means that probably you're veering towards the norm of filmmaking, which is every now and then you have a flop. But I think that, and as Rupert Preston said right at the beginning of this, I think it's not so much about the investment that the Hollywood studios have done in this. I do think, though, that I go back to the very core principle of this, which is that audiences, I believe, do have a slightly more enhanced experience on the 3D over a 2D. Let's put it, perhaps no stronger than that, but that is enough. But that is enough. But it's not that expensive to make a film on 3D, and it's not that much more expensive to bolt on a 3D on a 2D projector. That's enough to make it continue as a valid piece of entertainment into the near future.
And you don't see it going the way of the sort of 1950s and 70s films that Nigel endured?
Well, and sadly, and me. No, I don't. I think the technology is better.
OK, thank you very much. That's it for this week. Thanks to my studio guests, Peter Buckingham and Nigel Andrews, and to you for listening. The Arts Podcast was produced in immersive 0D by Griselda Murray-Brown. Goodbye.
For more downloads, go to ft.com/podcasts.
The latest episode of The Next Five Podcast is out now, and it's all about AI and creativity. I speak to Doug Eck, Senior Research Director at Google DeepMind.
Creativity is part and parcel of humanity.
YouTube creator Danny Vidari.
AI can give us humans new ideas.
And Neil Maiden, Professor of Digital Creativity at City University London.
AI creates a lot of opportunities. I think it's a great leveler.
Listen to the full episode of The Next Five wherever you get your podcasts. Enjoy.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has experienced teams who can craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex. Real wealth requires real solutions. Connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com.